Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Folks, this is Dr. Rob Zammit, and this is the Doggy Pod. Hey, wait, where's my producer? Stephen, where are you? I'm getting anxious.
Rob, I'm right in front of you.
Oh, sure, that's right.
Yes, thanks, Dr. Rob. Stephen Peters here, his producer. And welcome back to another episode of the Doggy Pod. And we've got a few interesting things to talk about today, haven't we? As
we
always.
Do. Yeah.
But what have you been doing this week in the surgery? Any interesting things happening? Because you don't work every 5 days a week now, do you? You're
no.
Sort of paring back a bit.
Over 70 now. I've got to try and slow down sometime. Jeez. So a lot of babysitting gets done during this time.
In the surgery. Oh, that's unique.
Yeah, I wish. actually, sometimes it does happen that way because I do get called in for emergencies. And we got called in for a ripper of an emergency. Dog had peritonitis and we had to...
For people who don't know, what's that?
Well, peritonitis, your tummy and your chest, your chest is where your lungs and your heart is, are separated by a muscle called the diaphragm. It goes right across from the from the front of you to the back of you. Same with the dog. And in the tummy part, it's lined with the whole of that tummy area, that whole cylinder, is lined with the peritoneum. Very important. A piece of tissue. If it becomes inflamed, the whole of the intestinal tract and everything in there will also become inflamed and infected. And somehow infection has got into that whole barrel and caused a lot of problems. In the particular case that we were seeing, it was a female dog that had not been desexed and she developed a thing called pyometra. We have talked about pyometra. Pyo is pus. And Mitra is the uterus. Every time a female dog has a season, she is pregnant, whether she's mated or not. She's hormonally pregnant. She produces all the hormones of pregnancy. And as such, the internal lining of the uterus gets thicker and thicker and thicker. And bacteria can colonize there and it just fills with liters of pus, which leak out eventually. And that's what happened with this girl. I don't know how she wasn't sick even before it leaked out, because she had a big uterus, which was full of pus, and inside the peritoneum, it was just absolutely just inflamed and smelly. So I got called into there, what do we do? So the first thing you do is take out the uterus and the ovaries, because they held a lot of pus. Mm. Then
so it's a big operation.
Oh, it's a big operation. We washed it out with just warm saline to start with. But then I like to do something that, I know some people say, no, you don't need to do it or you shouldn't do it. I'm not sure. All I know is that every time I've done it, it's worked for me, and so we do it. We get a bag of warm saline and we add iodine to that just to make it a weak tea solution, when you look at it, you know, that colour of weak tea, and I pour that in there. In fact, they used to do this in the Vietnam War, you know, when a soldier had literally guts hanging out. They'd shove them back in, put a whole lot of dilute iodine in there until they can get in the base, and they still used it at base hospitals to clean it out and to kill the bacteria and wash everything out. So we did that, and then washed it out again with saline, put a whole lot of penicillin into the abdomen straight in, sewed her up, and you wouldn't believe it. Like, the next day, this bitch came in knocking at death's door. You know that song, knocking at death's
on heaven's door.
That's what it was like. Yeah. I thought she was a goner when I first saw her. And then next day, she's up and about ready to eat. I thought, good Lord. You know, dogs are so unbelievably accommodating to pain and things. They're just amazing animals. They're just, yeah, she was fine next day. She felt fine.
Wow, another life saved, Dr. Rob. That's all I can say. One of the things I wanted to talk about this in this episode was a video I saw the other day. You know, we all follow lots of, sure we all do, follow lots of dog videos on Instagram and Facebook or whatever. Anyway, it was a video showing a couple of dogs who went absolutely berserk when their owners got home, you know, even just from a day at work. And some that were just going crazy when they hadn't seen their owner for a week or two, or, you know, various things like that. But certainly I've seen dogs just go crazy when you're just out for the day and you come back. Can dogs get separation anxiety or anything like that?
Yeah, very much so. There's lots of things you can do to try and avoid it. But the problem is it happens so early in life. People say, oh, it happens when the puppy's taken away from the mother too early. That's got nothing to do with it. There was a very good scientific study which proved that was not the problem. Being taken away from their mum early is fine. They accept that. They can accommodate that quite well. In dogs' DNA, they have an attachment to humans. So away from the mum, well, they'll just attach to a human. The problem comes when they attach to just one human, or, you know, totally all the time.
Right.
That's the time that you're going to have the start of separation anxiety. In fact, what they've shown is a person that lives alone, a single home, just only one person in the home, there's 2.5 more times more chance of the dog developing separation anxiety.
If it's one-on-one
just
relationship.
A one-on-one.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with one-on-one. In fact, I try and help people that live alone to get a dog, because I think it's one of the best things for them as far as,
absolutely,
you know, not being lonely is very important. But they've also got to think about the dog when they do that, which means getting out and socializing with lots of people. They can do that at a dog park. They can do that, you know, assuming you've got a really nice dog and it's a social dog. Early in life, you go past schools when there's lots of children. You go to railway stations where there's lots of people at peak hour. Now, just places where there's lots and lots of people, take some time. And, of course, I do harp on this, obedience schools. There are obedience schools all over the place that you can attend to with your dog. Ones where you attend with your dog. Don't send your dog to an obedience school. That's not what I want. I want you to go there for a couple of reasons. One reason alone is so that the dog sees other dogs. The other reason is so you see other people.
Yeah.
And, of course, the dog sees other people as well. And this becomes a dog that's well-balanced because, as I said, dogs in a single adult human home have a greater propensity of developing separation anxiety. I mean, the other things that they've found, dogs that are not de-sexed are a third more likely to develop separation anxiety is new to dogs. So de-sexing can help.
Interesting.
I see lots of de-sexed dogs with separation anxiety, don't get me wrong, but it's just one of the factors that they've seen. And, of course, the presence of other pets in the home. If there's a cat or another dog or even a bird, a dog has company when you're out. And so separation anxiety is less likely.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
All those things that we think. And then when you're out, doing things like playing music or playing the radio while you're out will help because it's a distraction for the dog. And don't forget to enrich the environment as well. So to avoid it, toys where the dog will play with those particular toys, a lot of those, find out the toys they really like to play with, but don't give that toy until you're ready to leave. You don't, that dog doesn't have it all the time when you're at home. That toy becomes a bit of a, if you like, a surrogate for you. And so you leave it with those toys. Leave it with a raw bone they can chew on for quite a few hours. Many, many things that you can do to enrich the dog's environment. Even a maze, you know, putting a maze in there with little treats along the way. The dog won't take long to do it. But, they go backwards and forwards through the maze and it helps them quite substantially to enjoy their time out from you.
Will it make any difference if, when you go away, if your dog is a bit like this, that you just leave and don't make a big deal of leaving?
If you have separation anxiety, you do not make a big deal of leaving.
You just close the door and walk.
In fact, at any time you don't make a big deal of leaving, otherwise you're going to you could induce separation anxiety. I mean, I won't go into all the treatments of it because it'll vary from case to case and veterinarian to veterinarian. They'll all have their particular drug that they will like. Sometimes, it's important. However, if a drug's not working, if your vet prescribes a drug for separation anxiety, it's not working, go back and say, this one's not working. They'll have others that will. Seek the help of a behavioural specialist as well, especially a veterinary behavioural specialist. There are many people now, Stephen, that are calling themselves, I'm a dog behaviourist. And you say, oh, what qualifications do you have? Oh, I've owned dogs for 17 years. Yeah, but what qualifications do you have? Oh, I've trained dogs to do all sorts of things. What qualifications? No qualifications. And it's not that the qualifications are essential. I'm not saying that for 1 minute.
No.
But you at least understand all the different regimes that you can be used to help a dog with separation anxiety. You know, training alone is not enough.
But when you're out, you wouldn't know if your dog's anxious either, would you? Except when you come home and they go absolutely crazy.
Guess what? Now you can find out.
Oh, by just leaving a little camera around.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And there's lots of cameras that can hook up to your phone and you can check your dog.
Mm.
And in fact, I have a couple of mates that have three or four dogs, and they have not just a camera, but they also have a speaker so they can talk to the dog, especially if the dog's barking a lot. They actually, hey, stop that noise.
Yeah,
because you don't want the neighbours all disturbed either by the dog that's anxious.
Won't that freak the dog out that they're hearing their owner's voice? And
I wonder that, but I'll tell you what I do. When my dogs are in the kennel, for whatever reason, they're not there often. I build this pretty U-Butte air-conditioned kennel for them.
Mm-hmm.
When they do eventually go in there for a while, I put the doggy pod on.
Put the doggy pod on.
Podcast. Ah. So I often wonder that they think, is that Dad's voice or not? Especially if I'm cleaning around the place and the doggy pod's going, I think, hang on, your voice is coming from there. You're standing over there. There, August is agreeing. You can hear him out there.
Oggy outside the studio right now. Yeah. How funny. I saw this really disturbing news story the other day, Rob, and it was a dog, and it wasn't a pit bull. It wasn't one of the sort of dogs you imagine can be an angry dog. And I know they're not all like that, of course. But it was this dog had just gone rogue, and I didn't get the gist of the story, but basically this dog was chasing people and guys were jumping up on the roofs of their cars to get away from this dog, and this dog had just gone rabid, and it was just...
Well,
had bitten people and was chasing after people, and sadly it had to be put down. But I didn't hear what actually triggered it, what happened to it. Is there such a thing that,
Well, rabid is one word.
Rabies, but we don't have rabies in this country.
No, assuming that video was in this country, who knows where it was from. I remember a professor of ours telling us that he was in a country in Asia, helping the people there with all sorts of veterinary work and volunteering his time. And this word went out, which for that country meant rabid dog, And he was expected to stand on the shoulders of a lady so he wouldn't get bitten, because he was the professor from Australia. And he said, no, I can't do that. Australians don't do that sort of thing. But, yeah, a rabies dog just goes crazy and will bite everyone.
So that's where the word rabid comes from.
Yeah,
huh?
And the problem with a rabies-infected dog, if you get bitten, it means usually a course of some really painful injections into your tummy area, into your abdomen, through your peritoneum, into your that cylinder that's called your abdomen. Usually a course of 10 very painful injections to stop you from developing rabies. I mean, you can vaccinate against it, and if you're going into a rabies country, especially if you're going out in the country areas, then it would be advisable to think about having rabies injection. In fact, in Australia, I would certainly consider rabies and vaccinations for people if they're in the area where there's a lot of flying foxes or bats.
Okay.
Definitely okay. Up in the northern area, because we get bats, the micro bats, coming from Indonesia, crossing over.
So what would have triggered a dog, just to say it's not rabies?
Right.
Is there such a...
brain tumour. A brain tumour can do it. Yeah, really? A lot of pressure. Oh, yeah, dogs get brain tumours just like we do. And the only thing with the dog is you don't know, because they're not complaining about it until it reaches a crescendo where it just hits something and maybe there's a lot of pain involved.
Mm.
That is definitely a possibility. Infection in the brain all of a sudden, like I can get a virus, a viral encephalitis or a bacterial encephalitis, could certainly cause inflammation of the brain and severe pain in the brain. They're the most likely things for a friendly dog, if you like, to all of a sudden go that way. I'm not talking about the dog that's just been bad all the time. We're talking about the good dogs that go bad all of a sudden. What reasons could there be? Metabolic things, not usually. Diabetes doesn't cause it, and other metabolic issues like that don't usually cause a dog going all of a sudden angry and savage. And I guess severe changes in the environment can, change it. If a dog has all of a sudden copped a bad fright, it's been in the backyard for most of its life, very happy and healthy, and you've got neighbours that are not so nice throwing things at the dog and scaring the dog and harassing the dog and haranguing the dog, and all of a sudden the dog gets out, and it's like help. It's escape because it's been harangued so much. Anyone that comes near it becomes a fear biter. Yeah. That's
a different thing.
That's a dangerous dog as well. But metabolically, more than anything else, it's going to be rabies that does it as a virus. But any virus that can affect the brain could cause it. Any bacteria that could cause it, and certainly brain tumours could cause it. Metabolically, not so much. The things that cause metabolic problems usually make them languid and they don't want to be touched. They get annoyed if they're touched, but they don't go out aggressively.
I mean, we've talked before in the past about breeds like pit bulls and American pit bulls and other breeds. And you were saying that even with those dogs that do have a bit of a reputation, it's still more to do with the owner than the dog.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Look, I've seen some pit bulls. They're just wonderful dogs brought up in the right environment.
Yeah.
Can you have a dog that's born bad? Well, look, we have humans that are born bad.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them in the world right now.
Tell me about it.
Running countries.
I have a friend who works with violent children. And he said he has a five-year-old that has murdered, and literally murdered, not just accidentally killed someone. And there's a nine-year-old and so on. So I guess, was it their environment, or were they apt to do that for some reason? I don't know. I don't know the whole course of those kids' lives. But in dogs, you do get some dogs that are really difficult to work with, even as puppies. They're aggressive and they continue to become dominant aggressive. It's possible. I've seen it. Not just possible. I have seen that happen. Not common. Mostly a dog that is brought up well and treated well and socialised well and trained well will be a great family dog.
Mm-hmm. one size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Rob, I was at a dinner party the other day and a guy I was sitting next to, his or their dog had just recently passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his wife were pondering the idea of having it stuffed. Taxidermy.
Yeah.
And he was asking me if I knew of anybody. And that made me think, is that such a thing? Does that happen here in Australia? I don't know.
I remember back in the 1970s, a few people did get their dogs done that way. Yeah.
There was
a chap down Wollongong way. I do know that in New South Wales, and I'm not sure about other states, New South Wales of Australia, the state of Australia, you need a license to be a taxidermist.
Why would that be?
I don't know. Stuff me.
I mean, the animal's sadly dead. I don't know why you'd need a license.
I'm not sure, but you have to be a licensed taxidermist. You can't, I don't know if you have unlicensed taxidermists.
Or
do they get taxidermists mixed up with taxi drivers?
Maybe that's
that could be it too.
Because it strikes me as quite a challenging thing to do. Like, it's not easy being a taxidermist. When you look at, you know, you see them in movies and things like that, and you think that's actually pretty damn good that they've done that. But yeah, okay. So you haven't heard of it either, because I know
not
that
for a long time. I mean, you do get, like, you can get a pig's head done for a feral pig because people go shooting. Yeah. And I do know that's about $1,200 to get the pig's feral pig's head.
So you can hang it in the trophy room.
Right. If you get a buffalo, it's about $3,000 or $4,000 to hang on the trophy room.
Just
people
who
have big fish, they catch big fish.
Yes.
The same sort of deal. So, yes, taxidermists are available. Most commonly with dogs, people have them cremated and keep the ashes. You can have them buried. There are places that will actually bury cemeteries for dogs. Tell Stephen King about Pet Cemetery, I guess. But there are places that will actually, you can buy a plot for your dog. You're not supposed to do it in your backyard. People do it.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to, but how would you know?
No, how would you know, exactly. Now, actually, this brings up another question that we might as well broach now that we're talking about it, and I'm sure it's a question most people wouldn't want to ask their vet directly, but they're probably wondering that, you know, sadly, if they have to go to the vet and it's the worst possible news and their beloved family member has to be, what do you say, put to sleep?
Yeah, well, that's it, put to sleep, the animal will be...
I mean, what's the next thing that happens? Then, like literally, they've walked in with their dog.
I'll
what's
talk
the
to
next
people.
Thing
when
that happens?
Yeah, you know, when it's time, and they know it's time, we've all decided. And I never say to people, "Are you ready anymore?" Because you're never ready for it.
No.
Are you okay that this has to be done?
Yeah.
There's no choice. This has to be done. They'll say yes. I say, just before we do it, just stay with the animal, pat it. I just want you to think about what do you want done with the body.
Yes.
And your choices are, you can find a pet cemetery to have it buried if you wanted to. You can just leave the body with us and we will have it cremated en masse.
Right.
Or you can have individual cremation. And I know it's a bit difficult because there have been a few shonks in this area, just like every other walk of life.
Because you wouldn't know what's actually done.
I had with a group that I know of, I had a young puppy that broke its leg and we put a plate and screws in it and just went fabulously well. And that's the problem with me. I see these pups grow up and become an adult, and then later on in life I see it through its arthritis and help it. And I'm quite attached to this dog. I've seen this dog a whole lifetime. The time came to put him to sleep, and it was really tough. We did that. And these people said, yes, we'd like the ashes back. And so off they went. They brought the ashes back in an urn, and they said, oh, this was in the ashes. And inside the plastic bag, they had the plates and screws I'd put in.
Oh, my God.
This is the real McCoy. Because there have been other companies that I've heard of.
They just give you ashes.
And how we know that's a fact is that one company was caught where these dogs, dead dogs, were turning up in the bush. And that, so it was reported to the police. The police scanned them. They had microchips. Went back to the owners, and the owner said, no, I've got my dog's ashes here. Well, no, you haven't. And
That's dreadful.
Yeah, there are companies that don't do the right thing. So the one that your vet's chosen, I would dare say, would be the real McCoy. You can even go to some of these crematoriums and just, you know, be there. Just as you do with a person.
Yeah.
They give you the ashes straight away.
But what was the, you said mass cremation.
Well, when
what
you've
is
got,
that?
Well, that's a whole lot of, you know, in a big.
Like a whole bunch of.
Yeah, they all get cremated
dogs.
Together and then the ashes just get spread.
Oh, so the owner, that's one where you don't want the ashes back.
The ashes back.
Right, okay.
They have all the memories of the dogs. They have everything, all the pictures.
Yeah.
They might even have some hair from the dog.
Yeah.
But they don't need the ashes in an urn
or a timber box
or anything like that. They're just that. But, yeah, I mean, taxidermy, I've not heard of it in Australia for a while.
Mm.
I do remember the story about the lady who wanted both her dogs put down at the same time and taken to a taxidermist, and he said, would you like them mounted? And she said, oh, they were good friends, but just shaking hands will do.
All right, on that jovial note, that's going to wrap up this episode. Thanks for listening, and please, yeah, keep following us on Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, leave a review on your podcast platform. That would be lovely, assuming it's a nice review. And we will be back again with another episode of the Doggy Pod very, very soon.
And when you are listening to the Doggy Pod, please make sure you subscribe. I want you to subscribe, please, people. Doesn't cost you anything, and
it's true.
Adds to our
free.
List, so ensure you do that. Plus, if you know someone that's living alone, don't stop the worry of separation anxiety. Prevent them from getting a dog. Talk to them and get them a dog. Tell them what to do. Help them along. Maybe you and that person can go to doggy training schools, preschools, lots of things that they can do, and all of a sudden, they're not really living alone. They've got the love of the dog, which is unconditional love.
Everybody should have a dog.
100%.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.